The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game, just like the man said, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It is Gil Alexander and Kelly Midland Bidlin in the house as well. Good morning to you, Kelly. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. Not a humid day out today, Gil. Not a humid day.
Not a humid day.
We were just discussing humidity before the show in Las Vegas.
We're fans of humidity in Las Vegas, but we didn't have any today.
We are.
Instead, it's just
native Las Vegans, not fans of humidity.
Not fans of humidity. They like an oven. That's what we got today. We have an interesting show this morning. Really good show all over the place with different things, including Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports. For those of you who have been in sports betting, immersed in it for many, many years, you may be familiar with Michael, who was with Right Angle for many years, then was away and is back with Right Angle. We had Ed Golden, the founder of Right Angle, on a few months back. We're going to eventually do releases, probably starting next week, releases live on air. And that moves markets with college football when they do that. So today we're just going to discuss his thoughts on this week's games. Got a couple picks coming up and really a general discussion with Michael about how hard it is. It's not a discussion we often have, but should. How hard it is to actually win long term in this industry. Michael Craig is going to talk to us about that. Ben Brown from Pro Football Focus with an interesting discussion. He's done some work on Defensive Player of the Year, and we always see him here. It's a great, you know, great thing all summer long. We talk about key numbers, and during the season, we talk about key numbers in the National Football League. What are we really talking about? And Ben Brown will break that down for us. For those who may be new to sports betting, what is it that you guys mean with key numbers all the time? Mark Borchard on the Major League Baseball stretch. Can we call it the home stretch now? I think we can. And Danielle Alvari, is that true? Danielle's on the show today? Danielle, little WNBA, because WNBA is in the game fours. Is it games four or game fours? What do we say? I don't know.
Game fours? Game fours.
Yeah, I think that's what we say, even though probably not grammatically correct, right. But that's what we say. Game fours of the respective series in the Eastern and Western Conferences, where both the Vegas Aces, the Las Vegas Aces, and the Chicago Sky are on the cusp of getting to the WNBA championship, and Danielle has been awesome this year in the WNBA. She has been really killing it, so we'll get her thoughts on those two games tonight as well. Doubleheader in the WNBA. You actually made bets already on this, Kelly?
I made a bet. Yeah. Did you not, Gil? I thought you were all on board with me.
I said I would, and then I forgot.
Well,
what are you
doing? We'll see what Danielle has to say. Yeah, I did actually. I put a small bet in on the Aces tonight. Like the spot for them, too. Looking to close this out on the road at the Storm. Look, both these teams shot lights out that last game. If anybody watched it on Sunday, it was actually a heck of a game. But Aces took the Storm to overtime. Really feel like they just kind of took their soul in overtime. So I think we'll close it out on the road here tonight. Don't want to let this go home back to Vegas and for a game five. I took the Aces, had a pick 'em. Shop around. You might be able to catch a point or something on them right now this morning. Aces, pick 'em for me today.
Okay, and a bevy of NFL players.
Oh, yeah, I had another teaser. Colts minus two, Vikings plus eight.
Tease fest.
The Vikings number coming down a little bit, Gil. So I want to get all my Vikings teasers out of the way.
Get them in the pocket already.
That might be my full week one betting card. I don't really know I'm going to be adding much more than that.
Don't forget, you got to sign up for contest as well.
Yeah, I know. I'm very aware.
I'm going to do that today, I think.
You're going to do that today?
I think. So what I did bet on yesterday, tennis, 2-1 at the United States Open. We were efforting for the sweep, and we just couldn't quite get there. We did hit Jessie Pegula early. The over in the Pliskova Azarenka match, that soared over. But then we had Danielle freaking Collins at night against Rina Sabalenka yesterday evening. She was up a set. It was 3-3. And then they played a marathon seventh game. And this is sort of like Samsonova over the weekend, where we squandered eight set points. She did. We were backing her. Once you sort of fail in some marathon effort, the mental fortitude is tested, and both Samsonova crumbled, and then freaking Collins kind of crumbled yesterday after that as well. And so we didn't get the sweep, but 2-1 for the win. We'll take that. Today, the quarterfinals begin, and we do have two plays in tennis, one on the men's side, one on the ladies' side. Casper Ruud, -118 against Matteo Berrettini. These are to determine the quarter winners. Casper Ruud, -118 is the play against Matteo Berrettini. I think Ruud exploits Berrettini's backhand just enough to get this one done. And then on the ladies' side, and this is not going to be fun for a lot of fans of American tennis, but I'm going Caroline Garcia. to beat Coco Gauff, minus 127. Both prices. By the way, in the case of Garcia, I think you can get a price that's even better than the one that I got from last night. So Ruud and Garcia. By the way, the biggest thing that happened in the U.S. Open yesterday, the DMV's Francis Tiafoe gets it done against Rafa Nadal in four sets. And Tiafoe gets to the quarters, which is huge. So the men's draw is just wide open completely. We again have Nick Kyrgios as our future play, both at 12-1 and at 30-1. And on the ladies' side, still Iga's to lose, I think. Iga Swiatek, who we have at 7-1. By the way, this is from ESPN Stats and Information. While with Daniil Medvedev losing Sunday night and Rafael Nadal getting defeated yesterday by Tiafoe, it's the first U.S. Open where both top two men's seeds failed to reach the quarters since 2000. You may remember Andre Agassi lost in the second round that year, Kelly. But did you remember that number two seed Gustavo Kuerten lost in the first round? Do you remember that match?
Oh, yeah, of course. Big Gustavo Kuerten fan over here.
Yeah, he went down that year. Who could forget it? So
I feel like I've never heard that name before.
Well, you have to kind of be into tennis to know that name. Yeah. But even that was like, oh, wow, what's Gustavo Kuerten doing on a day like this? So that was the big thing. And then so we have Nick Kyrgios. But it really is truly open on the men's side. Carlos Alcaraz, don't call him Carlos, call him Charlie or Carlitos. He won a big five-setter against Marin Cilic last night. So should be fun. Again, the two picks today, Casper Ruud and Caroline Garcia at the U.S. Open as the quarters begin. Did you catch the Clemson game at all last night, college football? Clemson beating Georgia Tech ultimately 41-10?
Yeah, that was Man, that was just another game of how tough this is to bet college football. Because if you were on Georgia Tech, man, you were covering until, you know, they have to get kind of desperate going for stuff with about 8-9 minutes left, and then Clemson just kind of takes it and runs away from there.
I feel like oftentimes we come in, most of the time we come in here, whether it's a guessing line show, whether it's doing an autopsy on college football the weekend before, and we all kind of agree on coaching blunders. What was this team thinking? What was this team thinking? You know, what was this coach thinking? What was this player doing? And then every once in a while, there's a game that stands out, and you feel like you're on an island. Like, you feel like you're the only one with this opinion. That game to me yesterday, there's no way I can prove this, Kelly, but it's 14-10 Clemson. Georgia Tech had just scored to cut the lead to 14-10. And Georgia Tech forces a third and long for Clemson. They had just cut the lead to four. They're on the cusp of getting the ball back on a punt. And Yuan Galale throws this ball five, thank you very much, throws this ball 5 yards out of bounds and short. And they throw a flag on a PI on the Georgia Tech D-back. The announcers say nothing. Nothing. Like, yep, that's a flag. Oh, you got to call that. No, the ball's in the stands. Or, excuse me, I'm exaggerating. You know, deep in the bench, short. There's no human being who could have caught that ball.
Stuff infuriating.
We're just not calling it, I guess. And so Clemson gets new life, and the next thing you know, you blink your eyes, and it's 41-10. Now, I cannot prove that this game would have gone differently. But you cannot prove that it would have otherwise.
It's a massive moment. I mean that's
it drives, and no one says anything. It drives me crazy, Kelly.
And that's kind of what I'm talking about from the betting angle, right? Where it's okay when there's 9 minutes left, and then you're down two touchdowns, and you're Georgia Tech with Clemson a chance to beat Clemson. Okay, you're going for it on fourth downs. You're running plays that you wouldn't normally run because you want to get back in the game. And then okay, stuff. I mean, it easily snowballs and gets out of control, right? So, no, I'm with you. I mean, they were in there. I mean, you end up getting outscored 27-0 after what you're talking about. I mean, so.
I can't prove it's going to be different, but I'm just saying, like, football's like that. It you know, so many of these sports are like that. But that play goes differently, and Georgia Tech gets the ball back with a chance to take a lead. You don't know.
That is also one of the most infuriating calls in football right now to me, is the PI flag when it's clearly uncatchable.
Well, and it just drives me crazy that the announcer's just, like, conspiring with it. Like, yeah, got to throw that. Got to throw that flag. No, you don't.
Like, I'm one of those guys, Gil, like, I don't really care. Like, pass interference is already so subjective, right? Like, where we try to lay out these barriers and what is and what isn't. It's the uncatchable stuff. If you told me that didn't even matter and they're going to throw flags anyways, fine. But make that the rule.
Right.
The rule is right now that it has to be catchable, and there's so many times it is so uncatchable and they still throw the flag.
It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. The other big thing that happened, and we should probably give more time to this, but I'll bring it up later with Borchardt, I'm sure. Aaron Judge hits another home run. Yankees beat the Twins. What else is new? But Shohei hits two. Shohei now at 32 home runs. Can we do a little blind resume with Jeff Passan? Sure, why not? Player A, player B. Look at those slash lines. Player A, 283, 351, 572 on the batting average, on the OBP, and on the sluggo. 33 homers, 74 RBI. Pretty amazing, right? Well, look at player B. 270, 361, 538. The OBP is actually better. 32 home runs, only one fewer, and 11 more RBI. Player A is Mookie Betts. Player B is Shohei Ohtani. Why don't we do player C and D while we're at it as well? These are pitchers. Player C, 147 and a third, 27.1% K to walk. I think we're just talking about K rate there. 2.20 ERA, 2.64 FIP. Okay, player D. Look, the K rate is only 0.1% fewer. Less, I should say. 2.58 ERA. Look, the FIP, the Philly Independent, is actually better, 2.54. Player C is Shane McClanahan, Cy Young candidate. Player D is also Shohei Ohtani. B and D are Ohtani compared to Betts and McClanahan. I'll just let Jeff Passan speak for us when he says, well, here's the deal, guys. This is a once-in-a-generational kind of thing. Absolutely is. And so, as Jeff Passan puts it so eloquently, I am never going to stop talking about how incredible Shohei Ohtani is, because when you see once-in-a-lifetime athlete like that, you should appreciate every single second of it. And Ohtani is that very one-of-one. Coming back with the NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM, with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. I like the name of betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, what would you describe your betting style as?
Ferocious.
Okay. It's just curious. Just throw it out there. I just wanted to... I was rudely interrupted by the commercial, Kelly, so I'd like to finish my Shohei thought.
I know.
So here's the thing.
Those dang show clocks.
I know. Here's the thing. Again, you ask yourself, why do you keep beating this horse? Because I'm trying to make a betting point here. It's actually, in this case, sort of a point about the human brain as well. So we are so close to the sun on this. All we do is we stare at the markets for things like MVPs, whatever award markets, and we're staring at them all season long. And it sort of gets into our head that this must be the case. This must be a reflection of how voters are thinking. Yeah, I don't know about that. Ken Rosenthal just did a podcast where he was talking about how Baseball Writers Association voters on this stuff, they are not as decided as you might think they are. And so I get back to sort of thoughts that I had before a baseball season, 2-3 seasons ago, when I was first pondering Shohei Ohtani for MVP. And remember I said at that time, I was like, hey, you think if this guy hits, I don't know, 20 homers and has like a 3.7 ERA, that he could be the MVP just because the combined WAR on that kind of thing is so big combined. We've never seen anything like that. Think about those numbers. Then, of course, he goes ahead and wins it last year. And now, yes, Aaron Judge is having a spectacular year. Nobody's taking anything away from Aaron Judge. Trying to drag his team to a division title single-handedly. But we just showed you a blind resume there where Shohei Ohtani is basically Mookie Betts and Shane McClanahan all at once. And I get back to the whole thing, or I've said this many times, the old buddy in San Francisco, which I think is just a great sort of, you know, for those of us who are too close to the sun with betting, it's a great sort of case study of, he comes to me last year, he's not a big better. He's like, well, Gil, Brandon Crawford's definitely the NL MVP, right? And we were so like, it's either Bryce Harper or it's Juan Soto. Brandon Crawford was 100-1. He ends up finishing third. He didn't win it, but he ends up finishing third. And so I'm just saying, guys, we fatigued of Shohei Ohtani after 1 year. and he's doing things. Jeff Passan, exactly what Passan said. Like, we're going to keep talking about it until, like, people get this is off the charts. And if you ask yourself, hey, curious, has there ever been a year where there were co-MVPs? Because, you know, I asked myself that, Kelly.
I was going to say, no, I never even thought about that.
things that are batting around in my head.
And the thing is, sorry, I'm going to let
that's
let
all right.
You finish. Has there ever been, Gil?
Yes. Oh, thanks for asking. So funny you bring that up. The year, Kelly, was 1979.
Okay.
So we're talking 43 years ago. It was in the National
League. Hey, you know my rules. At least if we're not going back to the 1800s, I'm okay. This is precedent then.
It was like me the other day when I was like talking about Jalen Brunson and I went back to like the Big O and Bob
Cousy.
You're like,
I don't know why I went back that far.
What's happening to me? So it was Willie Stargell of the Pirates. For those of a certain age, will remember this. Sure, it was Willie Stargell of the Pirates. By the way, the Pirates won the World Series that year. And it was Keith Hernandez, then of the St. Louis Cardinals, who I think like hit 344 or some ridiculous thing. Don't hold me to that. But like, it's just an amazing year. They got co-MVPs. So I'm not saying that's going to happen this year. But I'm just saying there is some historical precedent for it. Just to be thorough about it, these things have happened before.
It is, I mean, Shohei would be the ultimate co-MVP guy.
Yes,
too,
he would.
Right? You know, I mean,
yes, he would.
Because you can make all the pros for him, right? And then pro arguments for him, and then make all the excuses for him, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, well, he's so great, he's just trapped on a bad team, and if he had any help whatsoever, they'd be in the playoff race. And
that's, of course, the biggest thing. Like, oh, Shohei, well, how could he be an MVP if his team sucks? Yeah, but if you put Shohei on the Yankees and you put Judge on the Angels, the Yankees are winning their division going away because he helps both as a hitter and as a pitcher where they need the most help. Come on, stop it with that. Anyway, that's my rant. He hit two homers last night. Judge hit one more. And it's fascinating to talk about.
It's going to be interesting, and I don't know. I lean towards, like, it's an 80% chance that Judge wins this thing just because the home run numbers that, I mean, we haven't seen this pace since the steroid era, right? And since the era of Bonds and McGuire and Sosa.
So I would like to point that out as well. Thank you for bringing up that as well. The home run record, ladies and gentlemen, is not 61. It is 73. I don't care how much you talk yourself into that.
Sure.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. He's not breaking a home run record. He's breaking the Yankees record and maybe the American League record. And as far as, well, if you give it to Shohei this year, then you got to give it to him every year. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard for people to say. Barry Lamar Bonds won 7 of these. Yeah, if you're good enough, you can get it that many times. I'm just saying.
And Barry deserved it.
Barry deserved 27 of them.
Right.
He played 27 years. Okay.
It is interesting to go, but I often compare this to what, you know, what we were talking about the NBA down the stretch the entire year last year about Jokic. And that, you know, that I was a guy who was on Jokic, and there were so many people, you know, kind of saying the same thing, right? There's all these, or not all these, but there's multiple great players having great seasons. They're not going to give it to the guy again. And I'm like, well, it was just the whole time was always break down the numbers like we're doing right now.
Are our brains that lame that's what we go to? Like, I'm tired of giving it to this guy. You see, we give him to LeBron every year, so I guess I'm not going to give it.
I mean, and Jokic was basically the same argument too, right?
Jokic was the same thing.
How good would he be if he was on one of the better teams, right? The Nuggets dealing with all those injuries last year. Never know.
I'm so going to get tweets where people can be like, yes, Gil, our brains are that bad. It's probably true. NFL yesterday, some news and notes. The Steelers have finally decided to list Mitchell Trubisky as number one on their depth chart. So I think we thought that was coming, but it finally became sort of official.
So the story is kind of interesting. I think the Steelers screwed up somehow. Apparently that's supposed to be announced today by Tomlin, but somehow the depth chart got released and Trubisky's number one. So I think they're kind of like, all right, well, it's out there now.
Coach, would you like to explain your depth chart without having named a starter?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be Trubisky.
Now,
these rookie of the year odds are now, I mean, it's interesting to me that there are shops that have Kenny Pickett as the short shot.
We would like listeners to settle a debate that Kelly and I were having off air, which is, have we talked about Offensive Rookie of the Year in the last week or have we not? We don't know anymore what we're doing on air and off air. We have no clue.
Well, you're right.
Kelly says no. Hey, I think yes, we did.
I think it's a good thing because it's really our tweet or our text that are somehow spilling over to the show and sometimes not spilling over to the show.
I think now that we know that Mitch Trubisky is starting day one, because Kenny Pickett is the only quarterback on this board, right?
Right. So, look, every year, the quarterback's the first guys you want to look at in this market.
100%.
But when we don't know when this guy's going to start.
That's right.
It's just unbettable.
If you knew that Trubisky was going to, I don't know, get pulled in week four. And by the way, I wish the best for Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky was hanging out in Vegas this summer, met him. Greatest guy in the world.
I still don't think we know everything about what Mitch Trubisky could be in the NFL. So I don't think, in my personal opinion, I see a way where there is Mitch Trubisky starts the season and finishes it for the Steelers.
Too. I do too.
I mean, there is a very good chance to me that Kenny Pickett never sees the field. Therefore, I mean, look, we know how these award markets change. After Kenny Pickett's not going to start on Sunday. And on Monday, when we look at these odds, he will be drastically down the board.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a rookie of the year bet, and I'm not really pointing at anybody should make a bet on specifically in this market right now, Gil. All my point is that numbers are going to wildly shorten after week one on a couple of these guys that have big games. Let's say Damian Pierce has a big game at running back for the Texans somehow.
They're going to shift after week five, and they're going to shift after week eight. Who do you have,
but,
by the way?
But Pickens? Every week Kenny Pickett doesn't start, he drops further and further down.
Sure.
Right?
So the point
was, even if you wanted to bet Kenny Pickett,
Wait.
Don't do it now. Wait till you have some idea of when he's actually starting. My one bet's on Jalen Tolbert to win Rookie of the Year. I bet it as soon as James Washington went down with that injury. And it looks like he's going to get snaps, you know, kind of as the second, third wide receiver in Dallas to get the season going.
I took John Dotson of Washington, but literally it's the one bet I've made where I have no decent explanation for.
No, me too.
It's the one market where it's just like, I'm just throwing
it. My explanation was that James Washington went down with an injury.
Yeah, and mine was Dotson will get some looks. And because McLaurin has finally got somebody, in theory, across the field from him. But the point is, you don't have to play hero and play this market now. Wait, watch it. Watch a couple weeks of football. Then make your bets. Unless you just have some ridiculous conviction on somebody, which, quite frankly, I don't know with this group who that might be on, but there are some names. But I would wait on this, generally speaking, even though I threw a dart at one of these. We'll come back. We will talk to Ben Brown of Pro Football Focus. Key numbers. What about them? And Defensive Player of the Year next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is football season, and bettors know that this is when the money's made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber and get our comprehensive college and pro guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, player awards. Sign up early for a discounted $175. You'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback on everything. This is from, let's see, G-Weezy. Can't wait to hear who Gil likes today. I really like, he likes an over in one of the other matches. He likes golf. I'm the other way. I like Caroline Garcia and Casper Ruud. Those were the tennis picks for the day. We said we're going to talk key numbers with Ben Brown from Pro Football Focus. Scotty B726 asks, sometime can you explain DVOA? Thanks. Well, DVOA is from another analytics site, not Pro Football Focus. It's on Football Outsiders. And basically, you could read that straight from their website, but essentially it has to do with, by the way, it's defense-adjusted value over average, calculating a team's success based on the down and distance of each play during the season, then calculating how much more or less successful each team is compared to the league average. That's what that means. Sean Higgs, Kelly Bidlin rolling with Gil on a Tuesday. Yes. Yes, Bob. That would be something I would be interested in. I don't know who Bob is, though. Let's see here. And they go on and on. We always appreciate the feedback. Anyway, we'll read some more later. Oh, Larry L., one more, talking about our Ohtani discussion. He said, if there is a co-MVP, how are wagers on each player treated? Could you imagine?
It's a great question.
They'd have to pay everybody out. There's no way they couldn't get out of paying both, he says.
Yeah, it's not. Is that a situation where some shops could dead heat or something?
Could you imagine dead heating that?
I feel like that would be so rude. I feel like that's the word, right? It would just be rude of the book.
And we're not talking Casper rude. That would just be rude. That would be ridiculous. Don't do that, books.
I don't know, though. That's another one. Check your house rules.
There is no co-MVP line in the house rules, I'm sure, right? It's only happened once. Let's talk some NFL. Let's talk some NFL macro stuff, and let's talk some micro stuff as well with Ben Brown, who does betting and data for Pro Football Focus. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing well. I mean, this is, week of right here. I think we've been waiting something like 7-8 months for this. NFL season finally here. So this is the best time of the year, I would say, for sure.
Okay, so let's start with something. I would agree with you, first of all. I think everybody listening agrees. Just for the sight of football on TV, just the fact that we've seen college, we're like, oh my God, I forgot how great this was. And the Bills and the Rams, of course, yeah, just a little more than 48 hours away now. So let's talk about the notion of key numbers. There's a lot of people who are newer to the show, right, who are like, okay, they talk about key numbers. I get that that means, generally speaking, that means the 3 and the 7. Those are the most common historical outcomes in terms of results, final margins, results of NFL games over time. It has shifted a bit, incrementally, but 3 and 7 still the most key numbers. What does this chart that you're showing represent? First of all, do you agree with what I just said, Ben, that it is really about 3s and 7s primarily?
Yeah, it's 3s and 7s. I also think 6 has kind of seen a little bit of an awakening with the 2-point change, basically moving, the kick back a little bit and actually having more teams maybe go for it. I also think teams are becoming a little bit more woke to actually trying to cut margins in situations to get to a field goal differential or extending that lead out to a 2-score game and stuff like that. So we have seen more margins fall maybe in 6 and 8. So I do think adding those in a little bit, at least in your discussion, makes a lot of sense. But key numbers, 3 and 7, historically NFL games fall on those numbers in particular. It is a way that people kind of measure, numbers or the spread moving through specific areas, how much closing line value you're actually getting in a certain situation. So like a number, for instance, Denver Broncos, -4 in Seattle's moved up to -6.5 now, 2.5 points of, this spread value type situation. But does 4 matter a lot? Does 5 matter? Not a whole lot, but 6 is kind of that key point where it continues to move up. And then if it gets up to 7, that's pretty significant, I would say, closing line value, crossing key numbers. And it is a spot where you have a pretty profitable bet on Denver already if you have them at -4.
Okay, so you would agree, though, when we talk about teasers and we talk about Stanford Wong teaser legs, still going through the 7 and 3, despite chatter, is still the best way to go. Not talking about road favorites, but talking about home favorites of between 7.5 and 8.5. Also, home and road dogs of 1.5, between 1.5 and 2.5 teased outward. Can I ask you about your chart? Because your chart to me, Ben, and I don't mean to poke holes at a chart, but I'm trying to intuitively understand from the chart what it is we're getting at here. Because your y-axis on the left there, okay, that's the number of outcomes, the number of games, the count. And your x-axis there, the horizontal at the bottom, is the ultimate score differential, the outcomes of NFL games. We're talking about a period of time between 2015 and 2021. Intuitively, I don't understand why. Explain to me what I'm looking at here, I guess is what I'm going to ask.
So it is the away score differential minus the home score. So you do see like -3, for instance, would be the home team winning by a 3-point score differential. I didn't necessarily take out that element and say, oh, these, this is an away score team that won by 3. This is a home score team that won by 3. Let's just lump all those together. I do think when people kind of tweet out or talk about key number probabilities in NFL distributions, they typically do end up doing that. I do think there's maybe a little bit of like a home field advantage aspect that's lost in that particular scenario. So a lot of people say, going to 3, we see 10.65% of NFL games land on that 3 key number. I do think breaking it out between home and away does make a little bit more sense. And that's really all you're seeing along the x-axis kind of that, you know, gotcha. Minus three for a home team, plus three for an away team. Those distributions, obviously combining them together, the minus three and the plus two, that would give you, you know, the total 3-point distribution that a lot of people talk about.
That was the missing element that I didn't understand. There's a home road element here that wasn't described. Okay, that's why it is. By the way, for those who want to delve into this further, you can go to Ben's Twitter at PFF underscore Ben Brown. You also did some stuff on defensive player of the year. What did you come up with there?
Yeah, definitely. So this is one, you know, I know you guys are familiar with Eric Eager, has talked a lot about it. Rashawn Gary went from 50-1 to 31, really high pressure percentage, I would say, you know, had the second best number pressure percentage among edge players outside of Micah Parsons last year. He's a guy that I think is definitely trending in the right direction from a defensive player of the year candidate. I also like Trey Hendrickson. I'm not sure that Cincinnati Bengals defense is going to be a whole lot better, but they did kind of hold together that secondary unit. Trey Hendrickson, really high sack rate last year, does have the pressure percentage to go along with it. So him at 30-1, I think it makes a lot of sense if you're kind of buying into the Cincinnati Bengals, at least being able to hold steady with where they, and not necessarily ended up in the Super Bowl last year, but they were actually, you know, good throughout the regular season, winning the AFC North and kind of getting back into that spot where they can maybe make another playoff run. So I like Trey Hendrickson. I think if you're taking, you know, maybe one more long shot bet, Marcus Davenport, this is the Defense Player of the Year award, has been dominated by edge defenders relatively recently. I think Stephen Gilmore won it in 2019. But outside of that, we're looking for, you know, a high sack rate. PFF's kind of found that, you know, pressure rate situations previous year is much more predictive of that sack rate coming up in the next year. Marcus Davenport's been a guy, done it year in and year out. I do buy into the Saints secondary quite a bit, so I do think he's going to get some, you know, extended opportunities to not only get pressure, but also get home with that pressure and get that sack rate kind of up there. So him at 65-1, I think, is probably my favorite long shot bet given the current pricing on the defensive player of the year candidacy.
And Trey Hendrickson right around the 40-1 pocket, somewhere in there, in that range right there as
yeah.
well.
I have him at 30-1 on DraftKings. I think I saw him at basically, so he's kind of in line with Rashawn Gary now at 30-1, but I don't hate that one. I do think if I was only choosing one, I do think it would be Marcus Davenport for a Saints defense that I think has the capabilities to be, you know, the number one unit in the NFL.
All right. I'm sure DraftKings 40-1 right now, as a matter of fact. So maybe it changed.
I looked at it last night, so yeah. I must be not sharp, I guess.
No, not at all. Not at all. And you did mention Micah Parsons. That actually happens to be the one that I bet just sort of on a flyer. So Micah Parsons we're showing here, courtesy of BetMGM at 9-1. Let me just ask you this, because we only have 60 seconds left here. Ben, I'm curious, just macro, from what you've done in terms of your research all off season, give me the team or teams that you are most against the grain on, based on either anecdotal evidence from what you've heard or just really how the markets have moved. What are the teams you have the most different opinions on than the general market?
I would say from a positive aspect, it's the Cincinnati Bengals and Arizona Cardinals. I think the ideas pushing them down in the betting market aren't really reflective or predictive of where they're actually going to end up. I do think the Bengals specifically could maybe even be a better, these team strength type team. They might not have the same record as they do in 2021, but I do still think the pieces that they put in place, especially along the offensive line, makes me think that they are set up to potentially make another run in a really deep AFC conference. And then the Arizona Cardinals, I think, you know, much blind because of the Kyler Murray lack of film watching ability, everything else. This does maybe buy into Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury more than I would want to. But I do think, you know, once DeAndre Hopkins kind of back in the fold, they're not really all that predictive to expect them to kind of have the second half type regression that everyone kind of prices in. So I think those are the two teams that I'm probably higher on the betting market right now.
All right, Ben. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the season beginning a little more than 48 hours from now. Enjoy, man.
Thanks, guys.
Ben Brown at PFF underscore Ben Brown on the Twitter machine. Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports. Let's talk a little college football on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any Major League Baseball game. And if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back and free bets up to $25. Log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to take advantage of the offer all season long. Just opt in to the one-game parlay insurance promotion. Then place a one-game parlay wager with four legs or more on any Major League Baseball game. And if you miss only one leg on your wager, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada, New York, or Washington, D.C. Getting some word that that MVP might be dead heated. Could be dead heated if that happened.
Yeah, that was a great tweet coming in. So, yeah, I think it's a perfect. That was from Joby.
Real Joby.
Just checking in at FanDuel, looking like that would be a possible situation over there if we you somehow did have a co-MVP situation. So, I mean, look, we say it all the time.
People would be so bitter.
We say it all the time. This is, you know, check your house rules. Ask. I don't know how all the East Coast shops work. I would hope they have a 24/7 chat window up or something like that. In Vegas, we are lucky enough where you can kind of just go to the counter and ask for someone.
True that. So there's that. Score one for Vegas. That's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. I'm Gil Alexander. This, ladies and gentlemen, from Right Angle Sports is Michael Craig. If you've been around the betting industry or immersed in it for many years, you may know Michael. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're meeting him for the first time. What's happening, Michael?
Not much. I'm glad you have me back on. It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure. Pleasure. What bridge is that behind you, by the way?
Clemente in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, of course. Okay. Pittsburgh Mike, as some of us might have called you back in the day.
You called me Philly Mike once,
which is really offensive, I'm sure. It was very offensive, too.
Yeah.
I apologize. All right, so let me just give some history again. I don't want to assume that everybody knows context. But and I'll see if you agree with this, Michael, that the pick-selling industry sort of gets this blanket bad name. But I would argue that there are two pillars of it, that Right Angle Sports and Dr. Bob, for me. Some people might have someone else. But for me, those are two pillars that have been tried and true for years and years and years. Do things completely honestly. Move markets when you release picks. Would you agree that that's perhaps, would you acquiesce to that, those two being very well respected?
I 100% agree with that. Yes.
Okay. And you're back at Right Angle Sports. You were there for a long time. You were not there, and now you're back with Ed Golden and company at Right Angle Sports. Hopefully in the future here, maybe next week, the week after, we'll do a release and everybody can see, just like we did with Carl Sack when he did NBA from Dr. Bob, how the markets moved when he released. We'll do it with college football with you guys. Let me just talk generally before we get to some college football thoughts from you specifically. You are about to do, I don't know what you're calling it, a little podcast, a little chat you're going to do about how, just generally how difficult it is to win betting. Talk to us about that, just in general, because it's not something we often like sort of delve into.
Yeah, Eddie Walls and I, it's Tuesday night. We were doing Wednesdays, but Tuesday night's 9 Eastern. We do a Twitter space under the Right Angle Sports Twitter feed. And just discuss general topics. And this week, Eddie wanted to talk about, you know, how difficult it is to win. And, you know, with social media, the perception is always, oh, this is so easy.
So
and everybody's
easy.
Posting winning tickets. Nobody's posting losers. And it is more difficult than people realize. And to your point of Dr. Bob and Right Angle Sports being kind of two of the pillars, one of the other things to touch on specific to the tout industry would be, you know, there's a big difference between winning for yourself and helping other people win and giving value to other people. And I think that's really where those two services differ from the rest of the market. And I'm not saying there's no other good services out there, but in terms of a long-term track record, I don't think anybody could argue that those are the two that are the pillars, as you said, and have a tried and true reputation.
Okay, and so the Twitter space is when again, tonight?
Tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Okay,
yes.
For those who want to talk more about that, because it is good contextually to sort of have your expectations set on stuff. As far as college football specifically, moving ahead to this weekend, let me just talk about one or two of the bigger games. Alabama-Texas. Alabama, obviously, a huge favorite in this. Is that number playable to you? Maybe the total is playable.
Looks like the total just got hit upwards. I think Bama's kind of a tough one sometimes because they're blowing teams out. You kind of have to separate out the garbage time because there's probably more garbage time in Bama games than there is in anyone else's games in the country. And I think, you know, I don't know how you play Texas here. I'm not dying to play this game either way, but I feel like Bama probably is the right way. I really don't have too much to say other than Bama seems to do very well in these games. And Texas, I'm just not sold on. As you know, every year Texas comes in with all this hype, and it just doesn't seem like they ever come through. The quarterback, the new quarterback, the transfer. I actually didn't watch that game, but some of the other guys from the Razz team did, and the overall impression was that maybe he wasn't going to live up to the hype. So yeah, just a lean to Bama here, lean to over at this point.
Let me go in your backyard, Pitt Panthers, who did get it done against West Virginia in a roller coaster football game this past Thursday night. They're taking on Tennessee. Tennessee just rolled Ball State. I don't know what you can really learn from Tennessee when you roll a team like Ball State. Tennessee is favored by 4.5 at Pitt. Any thoughts about that game?
You didn't ask me, or you didn't tell me which games you're going to talk about, but I'm kind of glad you brought this one up. I'm not dying to bet Pitt here, but and I like the Tennessee team in general. I bet Hooker to win the Heisman at 66-1. I have a chance to be a 9-win team in the SEC, and he could have 40-plus touchdowns rushing and throwing combined. So I like the Tennessee team. I agree with you. I don't think last week proves anything. Ball State's pretty down this year. Pitt, I think, was probably a little – probably underperformed a little bit. Definitely got lucky on a late pick six to come back and cover that game if you had 6.5. But I guess pretty much land on the number for most people. But I have a hard time getting to Pitt being this big a dog. I would definitely have interest in Pitt at +7 here. I doubt that happens. I think last year you'd have Pitt as a small favorite here. To have a shift of this many points based on one game. And I know Pitt lost Pickett and Addison, whatever, but still have a really good defense. Profile of a good underdog. They're going to run the ball well. So I would definitely lean Pitt at this number. I think if you lean Pitt, you probably lean under as well, just because it becomes more of a run-based game. So yeah, if I have to pick anything there, give a lean, it's Pitt and under.
Talking to Michael Craig, by the way, 6.5 now on that game. Talking to Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports at MJC257 on the Twitter machine. What game do you love this weekend?
Love's a strong word, but I can tell you we released yesterday. We released sides at Razz, and we released Syracuse over UConn, land 20. We released Mississippi State, land 9, probably graded at 9.5. That's about what it was when Ed clicked the send button. And then we released UMass +31. So I guess I'll briefly go into the Mississippi State game. We're pretty high on Mississippi State just generally. I think some people at Razz have made the argument they're the third best team in the SEC behind Bama and Georgia, of course. That's a pretty strong statement. I don't know that I'm quite there with them, but I do think that's a really strong team. They dominated Memphis in the first half last week. Arizona overperformed, of course, winning as an outright underdog. Really dominating San Diego State, who couldn't throw the ball at all. But we released -9.5. We just couldn't find a way to make this number less than 10. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction to Arizona's performance last week. And then, of course, we're high on Mississippi State. So, yeah, I honestly still think there's probably some value in Mississippi State at 10. But that's kind of the reasoning behind it and why we liked it.
Okay.
At a high level.
At a high level. We don't use the word love. Okay. Mississippi State, one of the three picks from Razz this week. All right, so let's get you back on. Let's do some releases on air. Can we do that next time?
Yeah, we talked about that for next week.
Okay.
If we do the same time slot here, I don't know if it would be a side or a total. One of the things we make sure of, we always want the market to be fully mature, and I think that's one of the big differentials between Razz and other services. Like I said, there's a big difference between being able to win for yourself, hitting openers, and being able to help people win money in terms of being able to provide value when the market is mature. And it's a very difficult thing to do right now because there's so many people betting early
getting harder and harder.
So, yeah, a lot of times, you know, we come into the week with a list of 15 bets, and by the time we release, there's
okay,
four or five left.
Yep. Michael, we thank you. I got to run. I apologize, but I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Michael Craig, everybody. By the way, if you're looking to play Kenny Pickett in the Offensive Rookie of the Year, hold off. There's no reason to bet him at the current number since his odds will get longer each week he doesn't start. Wait to pounce when he gets named the starter. That's your pro tip of the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Baseball.